Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And my interview today is with Anayeli Espinoza. Anayeli grew up outside of Mexico City, the daughter of hardworking parents who were trying to make a life for her and her brother. It was their commitment that convinced them to try and find a better life for their children. And so when Anayeli was 12, the family headed north to the United States and into the greatest challenge of their lives.
I came to the U.S. thinking that it was going to be a different place, but I didn't realize how big of a change it was going to be for my life and for my future. I kind of just followed and did what I was told to do.
How old were you when you came?
The first attempt, I think I was 12 years old. That was like the first time that I tried crossing, but it took me 18 months to get here. The first time I came with my parents, but unfortunately we got caught. And then the second time we had to split, since for younger kids it's easier for them to cross than for adults. We decided to split, but it ended up being that they made it. My brother made it, but I didn't make it. So I was returned back to Mexico. And after that, it started a journey because I had to cross five times after that.
Tell me about that. But you were sent, or you came by yourself, mm-hmm. or with accompanied by others, but they thought it would be easy for you to get through. What happened?
Yeah, so they put you in a cart and I crossed the border, and unfortunately I didn't know how to speak English at the time. So they find out that I wasn't the daughter of the person who was driving. So they return me back and they actually take you back to orphanage and just waiting for someone to claim you. But since my parents made it, there was really, there was an uncle that came over to the north of Mexico to claim me. And we tried again. I tried with my uncle.
Your uncle?
Yeah, yeah. And we got caught again, unfortunately. And he had to stay in jail that time. And I was returned back. And that second time, there was nobody who could claim me because pretty much my entire family was here. So my mom called a friend of hers and she claimed me. So I pretty much was under adoption for 12 months until I decided to try again.
What was that like?
It was very hard. It was very hard since my parents couldn't come and get me.
So your parents are terrified that something's going to happen to you. You're terrified that something might happen to you, that you might never see your parents again.
Yeah, I feel really lost. You know, at some point I even remember telling my mom, why did you put me through this? You know, I thought things were going to be better and everything was going to be okay. And here I am by myself, missing my brother and just waiting to see what was going to happen.
You must have a special place in your heart when you hear the stories of the border today and those kids.
Yeah, people say that it was easier before than it is now, but not really. You know, everybody goes through a journey, and even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was difficult for some of us. And
100 years ago.
Right? Yeah. And I still consider myself blessed and lucky that I didn't get... like nothing bad happened to me. I'm alive, and it's at this point it's just a memory. But at the time, it was very challenging to understand, especially at an age of 12.
Wow. So you tried with your uncle, then he was thrown in jail, and then you were on your own. But your mother called a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stayed with your mother's friend for how long? Did you say
for 12 months?
Oh.
For a whole year. Yeah, because pretty much in order for someone to claim you, you have to go through an adoption process. So she adopted me and kind of stayed there for a while so that I could recover myself from all the trauma that I had to go through from those two events.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program, and my interview today is with Anayeli Espinoza. Anayeli was 12 when she and her parents and her brother attempted to cross into the United States. The first time, they were detained and sent back, and the second time, Anayeli's parents and brother made it, but Anayeli was caught and sent to an orphanage where she had to wait for someone to come and claim her.
What was it like in the orphanage when you were by yourself?
There's a lot of kids that don't just like me, they don't get claim, and they just have to wait for an adult. And obviously, if their parents are already on this side of the United States, they're not going to return back. They're going to try to find a way to have someone claim their children. So I remember that you feel really lonely, and they feed you and they have activities for you, but it almost felt like a jail to me because I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, you can't go outside.
No, you really can't go outside.
Huh. So then what happened is after the 12 months, you tried again?
I tried again by myself. And unfortunately,
what was the plan for there?
So, you know, there's many different ways you can cross. And I guess it just really depends how much money you have in order to find like the safest way. I remember trying again, and this time I made it through the Rio Grande to the second part of the United States. And when I try getting into a car to be able to cross the other section, the second border, I got caught again. Oh. I got caught again, and they kept returning me back. And at this point, they knew that I've tried many times by myself. And I do remember an immigration officer telling me that I needed to stop trying, because at some point I even felt like they thought that I was the one crossing the people, because they are some underage.
Oh, they thought you were a coyote.
Yeah, because they're like, you're trying so many times through different places with different groups of people. Like, they tried to take information, like, you know, if you know something, you have to tell us. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm just trying to get to my parents. And of course, you can provide more information because you're afraid they're gonna come get him. So I just tried to stay quiet and hope that things were gonna be okay.
Wow.
So my parents kept checking on me and see how I was doing emotionally and physically, because you know that a journey like that is gonna take a lot out of you. You don't know how many days you're gonna go by without eating or drinking water. So I do remember I said, you know, I really wanna come see you. I need to be by your side, and I'm willing to do this again. And that's when they just pay money. They're like, okay, then you have to come to this place. Somebody's going to pick you up. And from there, they kind of like just explain the process to you. And I do remember the third time being very challenging, just because we got lost. And I got so dehydrated that I was hallucinating. Jeez. And I also remember being on the detention center, and normally they give you, well, the first thing you want to do is drink water. And the water they give you is just like, it's water with bleach or whatever they put in it. And I remember drinking so much that I was so sick, and they couldn't find, they were trying to send me back, but they have to wait because you're a minor. And I was so sick that I just remember then finding a way to send me back home within hours, because I feel like they were afraid I wasn't gonna make it through the night.
So the water was so chlorinated for safety in this place that they was over chlorinated, and it made you deathly sick.
Yeah, because you haven't eaten for so many days. So when you drink this water, it pretty much like burns your digestive system, your stomach. And it creates a burn that is just, you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, like an ulcer, a pretty bad ulcer. And they don't have doctors. They don't have medical help. Like, just when I heard the news nowadays, and I heard the stories and the conditions of all of these centers, and I'm like, yeah, that has been true for many years, not just now. Maybe it's gotten worse, but that has been
true. That's your story from years ago.
From years ago.
Mm-hmm. How many years ago was that?
That was 14, 15 years ago.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories Program, and my interview today is with Anayeli Espinoza. Anayeli has just been picked up by the Border Patrol on her third attempt to cross into the United States and rejoin her parents and her brother.
So they wanted to send you back, but they couldn't because you were too sick. You finally got well. Then what happened?
I was so sick that they sent me back with a group of criminals. Because normally there's many ways they can send you back. If you're a minor, you have to wait for a Mexican consul to come pick you up.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously you're a minor. There are certain rules they have to follow. But this time I was so sick that they couldn't afford for me to, they couldn't afford for someone to come pick me up. So they just sent me back on the first trip that was heading to Mexico, and I was on the bus with some criminals.
Whose good idea was that, do you think?
I don't know. I feel like...
Were you by yourself?
I was by myself that time. I think immigration officers, there's a lot of decision-making they have to do according to the circumstances. There's not like an official training they take for them to be able to respond. It's a lot of judging by themselves and evaluating the situation and then just go from there.
Yeah, not much training went into that decision.
Definitely not.
Well, did you feel threatened? Did anyone threaten you on that trip, or did things go all right? You were in danger, really.
Yeah, I was always in danger because I was walking and traveling with adults, not many women, and you know the adults see that you're by yourself. And you just hope that nothing is going to happen to you. And there's a lot of faith that goes along, you know. And in high school, I remember writing a memoir on one of the nights that I thought that was going to be it.
You wrote this in high school?
Yeah, I think it was part of my essay for scholarships. And it was like a memoir that changed your life for ever after. And I think if there's one night that I will never forget, probably be that night.
Sorry. You carry a heavy weight with you. I mean, this was a terrifying time for you. Can I ask you, were you able to stay safe? Did anybody bother you?
No. I think God knows how much you can handle, and I was only given what I could handle, and thanks God, nothing along those lines occurred to me.
I think God maybe have gotten mixed up and given you a double dose of whatever that was, because it sounds terrifying. I mean, so they sent you back with the criminals. Then what happened?
I arrived to the border in Mexico. They pretty much always send you back to the same spot depending on the state that you cross. So this time around was Reynosa. And as soon as I got there, there was already someone waiting for me. And they picked me up. And then I went back to my adopted family for a few months because that was a lot. And I told my mom, you know what? I think I'm done. You know, if you want to stay over there, then I'll just stay here. And it is what it is. You know, eventually at some point you're going to come back. And I started a normal life with my adopted family for a few months until my mom decided that it was time for her to come get me. And one day she just show up and she's like, I'm here and we're going to do it again.
What was that day like when she walked in? Did you know she was coming?
I didn't know she was coming. I feel like she didn't tell me she was coming because she wanted to see the conditions that I was living in. So she came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden I saw her, and it was kind of like mixed feelings.
Like you felt like you'd been abandoned and
that yeah.
your mother was too late coming.
Pretty much.
Do you need to stop? Shall we just take a breather?
Sorry.
Don't apologize for that, please. Take as long as you need.
Just when you think that you overcome the feelings, then they are again.
Well, it's like grief. It sort of accompanies you through your life. That was a heavy loss as a 13-year-old kid to suddenly be by yourself and feel like no one cared enough. I'm sorry. Sorry you had to go through that as a child. You want to continue? Or
yes.
Yeah, sure. Persistence.
So long ago, it doesn't matter anymore.
It's so long ago, but it was yesterday. Obviously, it was yesterday. It's still something you have to carry with you and deal with. And people can't even imagine what that's like, what that must be like.
I think we forget, because I rarely think about those things anymore. I just think about the good things and how blessed I am.
You're listening to the Immigrant Stories Program, and my guest today is Anayeli Espinoza. Anayeli has just revisited the trauma that she experienced as a young girl during her first three attempts to cross into the United States from Mexico.
Because it's just last month I got my U.S. citizenship, and I still don't understand how that happened, even though after so many attempts in my record. Yeah, it was a long journey, but
congratulations.
It was definitely worth it.
You probably appreciate this place in ways that other people can't even imagine.
Yeah. All of this, like, comes with something. You know, you had to do sacrifices to be here. So it didn't come for free.
No.
For sure.
No. That's one thing we all know.
Yeah. And now that I'm a mom, I don't know how am I going to teach that to my son. Because he was born here. And I always wonder, how am I going to pass that along?
He will eventually know, but he will never know to the depth that of the sacrifice, I don't think. I don't know that we can, you know.
True.
So when your mother said, okay, we're going to do this again, what did again look like? What was the plan?
Once again, you travel to north of Mexico and somebody picks you up. That time we made it through the river just fine. It was an easy journey. We got to the first border. And actually stay there for a few months. My mom said, I'd rather wait for you to learn some English before we attempt to cross again and then fail. So we stay there for 3 months. And I kind of like, it gave us like a few months of relief of spending time together, putting ourselves together to what was ahead. And after 3 months, we crossed. Like, that time I couldn't cross in a car because my mom was with me. And she's like, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. We're going to do this together. And we walked and walked. And the just...
By yourself or were you...
No, we were in a group.
Accompanied by a coyote.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Yeah, we were part of a group and the coyote, and we walked. We walked many days, and just when we were about to be ready to be picked up, we got caught. And we run, and we got away. But now we were lost because we have no way of communication. And we knew we were in the United States, but we didn't know what to do from there.
So you're lost in the desert, which... A lot of people don't survive in that situation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so after a few hours of walking, we were like, no, we're not going to be able to do this. So we tried to find our way back to where we were going to be picked up so we could be near to the highway and then immigration could come and get us.
They finally came and picked you up?
Yeah, they came and picked us up, and they asked if we were the group that they were trying to catch just a few hours before. And we were like, yeah, it is us.
So then what?
Then we just, I was with my mom, so that was like an easy deportation, what they call an express deportation nowadays. And they, you know, within hours we were out and returned back.
You and your mom are sent back, and you're then in the care or in the company of the coyotes, who are then waiting for another time to try again.
Yeah.
What were you feeling like at this point? You were pretty much done before your mother showed up, but did this give you a new incentive to try, or were you discouraged?
I think that's the part that hurts the most, that I couldn't understand my mother's decision. As much as she would explain it to me, all I wanted was a normal life. I'm like, I don't care if we have to eat frijoles every day. I just want a normal, stable life. I want to go to school because I wasn't going to school. And yeah. I just want a bed, you know, I just want a home. I don't want to be staying in different places every month.
Yeah. You all right with this? You're good.
No, I'm going to be okay. There's just a few sections that... Once we make it through that first part, we'll be okay. Because the stars,
things get
there's
better.
Good things. Things get okay. Way better, for
okay,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like that point in the movie where you go, I don't know, this isn't going to turn out well.
Yeah.
So how long were you there? How long did you stay waiting for the right time?
I think that was, I was there for probably a month.
With your mother?
With my mother, yeah. Yeah, you kind of have to wait a few days in between to recover physically.
Yeah, I imagine. And emotionally.
And emotionally, too, yes. Yes.
So the day came and you were off to try again.
Yeah, and that time was definitely different. It was a different route. This time, my mom hired someone else for the second portion of the trip. And the lady said, this is going to be it. I can feel it. We're going to have a good trip. We went to bed early that night, and we woke up the next morning and got ready. And we were put in a car. And somehow, some way, we just crossed. We were asked a few questions by the immigration officer, and he said, you're good to go. And that was it. And she kept driving, and I remember saying, telling us, do not look back. And those few seconds, I just couldn't believe what just had happened. I was like, how did this happen? You know, I crossed so many times, and all of a sudden, we're just driving, and we're being told that this is it.
It couldn't be true.
It couldn't be true, yeah. And 30 minutes later, she said, okay, it's time for a break. And we got out of the car, and she's like, we made it. And she was really happy. And even then, I just couldn't believe it. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is the United States. I'm here. We got picked up by a few family members, relatives. We pay her, and a few minutes later, we were home.
How long did it take you as a teenager to forgive your parents for making your life miserable for that time?
I questioned their decision, but I never had any resentment towards them. You know, there's always a reason, and I knew that I was going to have that answer later on. And I had many moments in my life where I can say that I understand. And up to some degree, I say thank you, you know, thank you for, because all of those things have taught me a lot of lessons. And
what lessons did you learn from that?
Well, to be thankful, you know, people want to keep working for more. And sometimes I don't feel like you should look for more. Sometimes what you have, it's enough. And you have to be thankful with what you have and the stability and being able to go home and have a bed and have a roof and have a stability, emotional stability, and just not cry every day. Just being able to be happy and enjoy what you have. Because that's enough. There is no need for more.
That was Anayeli Espinoza. Today, Anayeli is married and the mother of a 4-year-old son. She devotes her time to making a life for him and her husband, and also working on a management team for a national retail company. If you'd like to hear part 2 of her story, please go to kdnk.org. You can also subscribe to this program wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.